You get the privilege of only having a 10-minute sermon. There you go, right? Doesn't happen often. Take your Bible, turn over to John chapter 17. We're going to talk about Jesus' desire for Christian unity. Jesus' desire for Christian unity. This, I believe, is Jesus' continuing prayer, unanswered prayer at this point, that he prayed just before he was arrested to go through his trials and scourging and to be crucified. He was sharing this with his disciples, but in here's some phrases talking about even us, 2,000 years or so later. John 17, verse 13, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for your sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And may God add his blessing at the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we open your word, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is already in our midst, and that you can illumine our eyes and our hearts to understand what your word has to say. And so, Lord, each one of us in this room have needs, have praises, have things we can rejoice about, things that we're discouraged about. But we pray that as the word is open today, that you'll do a work in our hearts and our lives. And we're just privileged to be able to say back the words that you have given to us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's to be one defining mark of a Christ follower. That mark is wrapped up in one word and in one verse. And unity is the word, and the verse is John 15, 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." In the Gospel of John, we have the deeply thoughtful final words and prayers of Jesus to and for his disciples before his death on the cross. It's considered by many some of the most moving sections of the New Testament. So what occupied Jesus' thoughts during the moments before he died? Not surprisingly, he wanted the world to know that his death was a sacrificial one, that he was laying down his life for theirs, paying the price for their sins, offering that death as a gift so that they could receive forgiveness and then enter into a full and intimate relationship with God the Father. But how would that happen? How would people know beyond a doubt that what Jesus was offering really was from God? How would they know that Jesus himself was God the Son in human form who came to planet Earth to show the way? How would it be authenticated in a way that would be unmistakable and would force people to reckon with it? What would be the unanswerable argument in his favor? And it's summed up in one verse for Christians of all cultures, of all times, of all ethnicities to demonstrate. And again, I repeat, John 15, 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then a couple chapters later, which we just read from, John 17, but during the same time, Jesus prayed what is known as the high priestly prayer. And in that lengthy prayer, he shared these thoughts for his current disciples and those of us who would come in the future, some who would come centuries later. These words are appropriate today, just as they were for the Christ followers back then, when Jesus spoke these words just before he went to the cross. The first thing on your outline, it says here to sanctify them in the truth. To sanctify them, John 17, 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17, 19 says, "And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth." Sanctify means to cleanse, to set apart for special use, for the Father's use in his kingdom work. And we as Christ followers are to live different from the world. Our language, our values, our choices, our priorities, and we could go on and on, should be different from those in the world system. The more the Word of God gets in us, the more we get cleansed and set apart for His good work in our lives. As we allow the Word of God to transform our thinking, it moves to our behavior. We change how we live by the washing of the Word of God in our lives. It says in Ephesians 5:26 that He might sanctify her. Speaking of the church, we just sang of the bride and the bridegroom. That He might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Jesus desired that we would be so different that people would want to know why we are different. Back when my son, youngest son, Daniel, was in high school over here at Pleasant Valley High School, some of his friends kept asking why he never curses, why he doesn't use foul language. And he simply said to them that he had a bigger vocabulary than they did, right? See, we don't have to be like the world. We don't have to be like them. And the Word of God cleanses us so we can demonstrate the love of Christ to them by our actions. Second of all, sending them into the world. Jesus said that we're not of this world, but we are in this world. And He wanted us to be in this world, to do His work, to reach out and to be the light. Look at what He says in verse 14 of John 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we're citizens of heaven, and we're here on this temporary place called planet Earth. And we're put here and left here for a reason. God could have saved us and taken us right to heaven. But He has a purpose and a plan for our lives to be light in the neighborhood around us and to be light in our workplaces. The Word of God gives us words of encouragement when we face persecution. One of the most used phrases in the Bible, I think it's 365 times, it says, do not fear or do not be afraid. The Word gives us courage and boldness to go into the world, to walk with others, and to radiate the love of Christ. We're to be, as you know, salt and light to this world. And the Christ follower has the Holy Spirit living in them is a preservative that God's using to hold back the darkness, the sin that's around us. What would the world be like if the Christ followers were taken out? What would this world be like if the Holy Spirit was taken out and Satan would be able to unrestrained do whatever he wants to do with the limits and boundaries that God would put on him? We're to be separate and different from the world in key areas of our life to be the contrast to the darkness. Even the smallest candle lights the greatest darkness. Remember that. The smallest candle brings a lot of light in very dark places. So love people. We have to accept their lifestyles, but don't affirm their lifestyle. Be positive in the face of discouragement to those around you. Find good things in the midst of the chaos that's going on in the world around us. And lastly today, solidarity. Sanctify us in the truth. Send us out into the world. Solidarity for the gospel. Solidarity means unified. So John 17, verses 20 and 21, it says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Yesterday I was reminded by Del Tackett about the Trinity. And the Trinity is a relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God created us desiring relationships. And He's saying here that we might be one with each other in relationship, in unity, but also one with the Father as well, as we're in Christ. As we read in John 15:12, that we're to love one another as the mark of a Christ follower. Loving unity is not keeping peace at all costs. That's compromise. Loving unity in the Bible doesn't mean uniformity where everyone looks and thinks alike. The Bible idea is certainly not to be confused with unanimity, which requires complete agreement with every particular issue across the board. Christians can have strong disagreements about preferential issues. And something I just realized in the last few years, love is not colorblind, but celebrates diversity. We're all uniquely made in God's image, and we worship differently, we pray differently, we look at church decisions differently. This is healthy. By unity, the Bible means first and foremost a oneness of heart and relational unity. In other words, being kind to one another, gracious to one another, forgiving of one another instead of assuming the worst or being quick to be suspicious, showing grace to others. Biblical unity is about working through conflicts, avoiding slander and gossip, and being generous in spirit. Love embodied by unity is the mark of the Christian. Not just a feeling of love or an acknowledgement of love, but rather a demonstration of love. Jesus said it would be this unity and this unity alone that would arrest the world's attention and confirm that he was from the Father. There's been so much written about the growth of the early church. Sociologists have studied it extensively. The explosion of faith in Christ in such numbers and speed that in the blink of history, the Roman Empire had officially turned from paganism to Christianity. And here in the 21st century, pastors and church leaders, we look for formulas and programs and services and processes to reach out to the community, to the lost. But the simple truth is, if we fleshed out the challenge and prayer of Jesus, we would be even more effective. As a second century writer, Tertullian, observed, the odd pagan reaction to the Christian communal life was see how they love one another. That's what drew them to Christ, was how they loved one another. They supported one another. They were unified. The observable love between those who called themselves his followers was everything. So as we go out this morning, as teams of people and display teamwork and unity, as we connect with others that we might run into that are not in church this morning, some of you will go to projects where you won't see anyone, but your service will be noticed by many on Monday morning. Others will be directly involved with people, like those who will go down to the Scrub Pub laundromat or to do bingo. Some will be supporting all the teams out there. Some of you will be staying behind to pray for our teams out there and other things as well. Some will work alongside people today that you don't know very well, and you'll get to build a deeper relationship with them. All of us have a different responsibility in the body of Christ. So as we go out or stay here in our building today and show the unifying love of Christ toward one another, that we can be on display because of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So our key thought is this: let's show the love of Christ in unity as teams of people who are serving in our community. Let's show the love of Christ in unity as teams of people who are serving our community. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that today we can go out and worship you using our hands and feet to reflect the love of Christ by our works of service, our acts of service today. Thank you for all the people that are willing to do that. Thank you for those that are here to worship and just go home as well. Lord, we just thank you for the time that we can do that. Now we just pray that you'll give us safety as we go to all of our projects, and that we'll do all we can to finish them. And most of all, Lord, just to enjoy teamwork and fellowship together as we do and carry out the work that's before us today. And we pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen.